Hello, I'm Martin Brown from Martin Brown's Marketing Bugle podcast, helping you market your business online. Thank you for listening. There are e-learning courses and other bonuses that you can take for free, which are associated with this series of podcasts. Visit my website, martinbrown.com, for details. That's Martin with a Y. You can also join my monthly magazine, Digital Bugle, which is downloadable every issue by subscribing to my email updates. Well, here we find ourselves in 2020. In optometry, 2020 is the term they use to express the normal visual acuity. That's clarity and sharpness, measured at a distance of 20 feet. Basically, it means that a distance of 20 feet, you can see objects normally. It's ironic, then, that in business generally, we want to have a combination of both long and short sight to be at the forefront, and not 20/20 vision. For the entrepreneur, we want to balance what is seen in optometry as a weakness to provide both current and future gains for our businesses. We need to be short-sighted in some ways, looking only into the near future and identifying the short-term and quick gains to provide fast influxes of turnover to our business to help it in our growth. But also, at the same time, we need to have a long-sighted view as well, and have projects and revenue streams that stretch into the future to allow our businesses to be stable and maintain themselves, to provide the security for ourselves and our employees to keep moving forward and building short-term projects that fit into new trends and new markets as they arise and inevitably decline. It's always been amusing to me that on one side something can be perceived as a weakness. I myself am short-sighted, requiring glasses or contact lenses to see normally. And I have friends who are long-sighted and lament having to carry around a pair of reading glasses to allow them to read a book or to see the gauges of their car. We view these as weaknesses, shortcomings, but in small business, they are both strengths. I've often heard it said that entrepreneurs are great at building businesses and ideas, but terrible at running them. This is obviously not always the case, but in some ways, I'm sure we can all agree that for many of us, the enthusiasm comes in the initial building and not so much in the day-to-day running of the processes. For us, the lesson is in learning how best to balance the short-term and the long-term goals, and in that we find our 2020 vision.
Hello and welcome. Joining us this time is a true veteran of the internet marketing scene, and someone who, if you don't already know, you will soon want to. He's been called one of the most genuine and most respected marketers in the world today. And in this session, you'll hear why he thinks it's important to choose who you listen to, why you should have a loose plan but also still be open to change, and why age isn't an issue. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show, Willie Crawford.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, you've been around on the internet marketing scene now for many, many years. How many years has it been, and how did you get started?
I've been around since 1996. At that time, I was in the United States Air Force, and I had been trained in economics and business in college, and I was ready to start a business of my own, even though I had 6 years before I would retire from the military. And so I was in an office job where I had access to the early internet, and I looked out and saw advertisements on the internet that said you could make money by doing different things, and so I just started doing them.
That's an amazing story, and here we are now all these years later, and you're still as active or possibly even more active than ever. What kind of things are you working on at the moment?
Well, my biggest thing right now is doing the rank and rent websites, and I'm actually working on putting together a course on how to do that, because it's fairly easy to build a website and even to rank it in the search engines, but to go out to find a tenant, a renter, that's the challenge for a lot of people. And so I decided to do a six-week course, which will six 1 hour sessions, and so I'll have 6 hours of recorded audio and video and the transcripts, and I'll sell that as one of my many products. Other than that, I'm turning 61 next month, and I want to work less, and so I'll still do some consulting, but I'll do some internet marketing where I'll mail out a newsletter several times a week, but I won't do much else.
I was going to say, you're going to make sure that you match the lifestyle to what you're doing online as well. So that's the dream, I think, for most people, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I'll have my military pension, and when I turn 62, I'll get a Social Security pension, they call it. And so I'll have lots of sources of income. I don't need to work 18 hours a day anymore. I've done that in the past, and it's sort of crazy.
I can imagine. So, Willie, what made you want to get into internet marketing in the first place?
Well, when I looked around, I was just trying to figure out what I could do, and I came across a number of people who said, what you do is you build an audience, and you find out what they want, and you offer it to them. And but what really made me get into internet marketing was the fact that when I first started, I was flying C-130 aircraft, and so I was flying all over the world, and I put in a 16 to 18 hour crew duty day, and then land, and then try to do some work on the computer, and so I needed something that was portable, and so that no matter where I was, as long as I had access to the internet, I could work on my business too, and so that's sort of what nudged me towards internet marketing.
Got you. And how easy or how hard did you find it right back at the very start?
It was very difficult at the very start because the standard crew duty day is you were expected to put in up to 18 hours working from when you first showed up at the base operation to plan your mission. And so I'd work up to 18 hours, then land, and then get on the computer and maybe put in another 4 hours, maybe. So some nights I slept maybe 2 hours, and I'd fall asleep at my keyboard, and I'd wake up, and because I had my hand resting on the computer, the screen would be full of Z's or whatever. So it was exhausting at first.
And you say you started back in 1996.
Yes.
How quickly did you start to make money online once you actually committed to doing this?
About a year. Yeah, it took about a year. At first, it was trying to figure out what to do, what to offer people. And I was told, find something that you know and then build an audience around that. And the only thing I really knew that I thought would be marketable was I had grown up on a farm in North Carolina where I'd learned to cook. And with my grandmother, she started teaching me at about age 7. And so I put together a website that was all around cooking, or as the people in the UK say, cookery, and I started building an audience, and around 2000, my mailing list enjoyed my recipe so much, they asked me if I had a cookbook, and I said, no, but if you want one, I'll write one, and they said, we'll buy it, and so I pre-sold about 200 copies before I even started writing the book, and it's published in 2000, and it still sells to this day.
Wow. And now here you are, as you say, you're about to hit your 61st birthday, did you say, next month?
Yes.
So as a man in your 60s, I guess what you're saying is that age isn't a barrier to this, that the internet's kind of leveled the playing field for everyone, no matter what age you are.
Yes, I've seen people as young as like 14 starting online businesses, and I've seen many people in their 70s and even 80s. I used to attend a lot of seminars and conferences, and I'd sit and talk to people in their 70s and 80s, and they were very lucid, first of all, and so we were all sharing the same experiences, the same dreams and hopes, and so it was just a matter of figuring out what putting all the pieces together, but anyone can do it, though, regardless of age.
And you know, obviously, since you got started back in 1996, the internet has developed, it's evolved, it's changed massively from what it was then to what it is like today. Would you say it would be easier or harder to get started today?
It's easier to get started because there's more more tools, more training, more people who have experiences you can tap into. The problem, though, is knowing who to listen to, because there are lots of people who, when they first start, they do what we call fake it until you make it. And so there's a lot of training out there that's nothing but theory, and so you have to be very careful who you listen to. But then at the same time, I look back at all the people that I've encountered over the past 24 years online, and fully 80% of those people are not in business online anymore. So I guess they burn out, you know, if they are disingenuous.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you're absolutely right. And if you were starting out now, today, what do you think maybe you would do differently to what you did back then? I mean, as you say, there are more tools around these days. Do you think that would make things easier for you?
I would focus on a different market. I would focus on the one I'm focusing on now. When I first went into business online, I focused on teaching ordinary people to build a business, to take their knowledge, their skills, and create information products, and then sell those, and build a mailing list, and market their products and other people's products to their list. And so I worked with a lot of people who had absolutely no business experience, and many of them were unwilling to learn the skill set they needed. And so fully 90% of them never, you know, had any major success. And so today, if I started over again, I would focus on business owners, which is what I'm focused on now anyway, because they have experience running businesses. They have the pressures of running business. They have to make decisions, tough decisions, and so they're more. I enjoy working with them more. I guess I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's, the benefit of hindsight is always wonderful, isn't it?
And but it is.
I guess where you are now is somewhere where, you know, you're comfortable. You've got that lifestyle with, you know, you can work the hours you want to work when you want to work them, as opposed to, you know, the other way around. So in terms of the domain stuff that you're doing and the course that you're putting together, could you walk us through that process? I mean, how long does that take you to do, somebody with your level of experience?
Well, I was trained early on to record almost everything you do. And so I had people who noticed that I was working, building websites, renting them or selling them, buying and selling them. And they asked me a lot of questions about what I was doing. And so I said, well, why don't I train you? And I said, in fact, why don't I do like a 6-week course where during the 6 weeks we'll cover all the different aspects from how do you decide what markets to focus on, what do you buy the domains, and how do you build the websites, and how do you get them ranked high in the search engine, and how do you find the renters or buyers, and if with the renters, how do you collect the monthly rent, things like that. And so I just floated out and said, I'm going to do 6 weeks. Each week I'll do 1 hour of teaching. And at the end of the hour, I'll reserve some time for questions and answer. And during those 6 weeks, I'll be recording everything. And so at the end of 6 weeks, I'll have probably about 9 hours of training plus the questions and answers. Training and questions and answers combined will be about 9 hours of material. And then I was taught to, well, if you're going to do video, you may as well rip off the audio and have the audio offered too, and you may as well transcribe it and offer the PDFs, and so offered in 3 different formats, and that's what I'll be doing there. And so it's very easy, actually, because I'm going to spend an hour a week teaching, and then I'll do the question and answer, and so I don't really have to do a lot of preparation in advance. I need to know what I'm going to teach each week, but all I really need is to get started is the first week's material, and then after the first week, then I can sit down and prepare for the second week in between the two sessions. And so it's fairly easy to just get started, and then if questions come up or problems, I can adjust to that. And coming from a military background, I learned that you could have the most flawless plan, and as soon as you got started executing the plan, or you take off from in an airplane, and things start going wrong, and the plan completely changes. And so, you know, it's I've been taught you plan things out, you flow them out, but you don't plan on sticking completely to the plan. And so, you know, with me, it's very difficult to frazzle me anymore because I've been through so many experiences while in the military, including seven conflicts, four wars and a number of insurgency operations. And so, you know, there's very few things I can encounter now that would shake me up more than those things that did.
Yeah, you've got a lot of life experience to be able to to cope with anything, as you say, that's thrown at you online. I guess off the back of that, I mean, what you're saying is almost have a loose plan, but also take on board other people's feedback so they can actually steer the way that this course that you're going to be putting together is going to actually evolve and become that 6 weeks worth of training, so that the people that are there on the live training, they get exactly what they need in order to be able to, you know, model what you're doing.
Yes, and with most information products that are sold on the internet or even offline, fully 90% of the people who purchase the products never use them, never execute all the way through to see the results. And so one of my goals is to make sure that every student that's in my class, if they are willing, will at the end of the class be already buying and renting websites. And so my goal is for them to see results by the end of the training, and then I can turn around and ask those people for testimonials, and that'll be half of my copy on my website, people, you know, saying that we did what Willie taught us and we got results.
Absolutely. I mean, I love the fact as well, as you say, that you can do this by effectively just planning the first week, the first 1 hour session. Obviously go to market with that, get the people signed up and give it a starting date. And then once you've done the first presentation, then weeks 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, they follow on thereafter. So effectively you're creating the product, you've sold it before you've actually created the product, as opposed to the other way around, which I think a lot of people fall into that trap of wanting to create something amazing right out of the gate, and they'll go off and they'll make it perfect, then they'll go to market and try and sell it, but of course by that point they've done it the wrong way around. So it seems to me like, you know, you've got the idea, and that's a great way of moving forward. Willie, I mean, in terms of, you know, where you are now, and obviously, you know, you've been online for a long time. Can I ask, you know, when you first started, were your family and friends supportive of what you did, or were they dismissive, or how did that work out for you?
They were supportive, but they didn't fully understand what I was doing. They just knew that I had a part-time job I was doing on the computer. I didn't really explain it, and I was flying airplanes. And so when I started, I was actually 96. I would have been in Hawaii, and I went from Hawaii to Alaska and then Alaska to Florida. And so, and I've been to like 60 different countries while flying, and learned a little 19 languages. So I was all over the world, and I was often away from home for as long as 3 months at a time. But a lot of what I was doing was in isolation. In fact, when I first came up, started my business online, I started in 96, and it wasn't until 2002 that I actually attended a seminar and met other people doing the same thing I was doing. Until that time, I was sort of a lone wolf. And then I was invited to speak at a seminar. Someone noticed that I had written a cookbook and it was doing quite well, and they wanted me to speak at the seminar because they wanted at least one speaker there who was doing something other than teaching people how to make money by teaching people how to make money. They wanted someone with a real product, and so they invited me to speak, and that was my first seminar. At that event, I noticed that all the other speakers were very willing to share what they were doing, and in fact, all of them suggested working with each other, and I did projects with five of the speakers who were at that first event I attended, and that was very eye-opening, because because when you work alone in isolation, you feel like you're sort of, it's you against the world. And then you realize when you start meeting people that it's not. It's you work together and you all teach each other what you're doing to succeed. And it makes it easier for you.
I think you're right. I think as well, you know, when you work in isolation, you're insulated. When you get out there and you're working with other people, it's almost like there's a benefit for everybody involved.
Yes.
And it makes such a big difference, Willie. I mean, if you were, you know, starting out now, what advice would you give to someone who is, you know, in the same boat? If they're just starting out at the same time as you, what advice would you give to them?
I would advise them, first of all, to not try to figure everything out on their own, because what happens is a lot of times that they newbies tend to think that they don't have a lot of money to invest in training and things like that, and so they say, well, I'll just watch what the successful people are doing and I'll copy what they're doing. The thing is, they don't see everything that the successful people are doing, and so they're guessing and they're missing pieces of the puzzle. And even when they hire someone to train them, the person who teaches them often isn't aware of all the things they're doing. They have little nuances that make a difference, and they don't recognize those things. So I would advise them to get a coach. And also, once they decide that they're going to perhaps create their own products and things like that, then I would advise them to outsource as many tasks as they can. They may not feel like they can afford that either, but it makes life so much easier, and it allows them to scale, to grow so much faster. When you're doing everything by yourself, it's very challenging. And I also, you touched upon this, people creating huge products and spending months, years doing it and then rolling them out. And the mistake I see a lot of people making, people that I've mentored and coached, is they don't survey the market first to confirm the market wants the product. My friend Marlon Sanders, who's I think started on the internet in 1994, he teaches you come up with an idea, a product idea, and you survey your audience and ask them, you know, if they want that, or you ask them. He does a 12-question survey where he'll say, well, what do you want me to cover next? And he'll give them, you know, 10 choices or whatever, and then they tell him what they want. And then he will create a small version of the product. And he typically, he advises just doing an audio, and you test market that, see if the market actually buys it. If they don't buy it, then you go to something else. But you don't sit down and create a, you know, 20-module course with all these things, all these parts and pieces, not knowing that the market really wants it and will buy it. So it's letting your customers tell you what they want. And I see a lot of beginners making a mistake of not doing that, and then they fall in love with their product, the idea of their product, and so they keep trying to sell it to people who don't want it, and that doesn't work.
It's true, isn't it? You know, and it's really interesting that you you know, stopped on that point in particular, because I think a lot of people do start to chase down a rabbit hole, and as you say, they get so enamored by their own product that
yes,
they want to try and turn it into this product that people are going to buy, and it then becomes a frustration, which is people aren't buying this, so therefore, you know, I'm not going to do anything else, because they've kind of convinced themselves that trying to sell things online doesn't work. So it's almost like that self-fulfilling prophecy in a way. You mentioned Marlon Sanders' name just a second ago, and
yeah,
I guess he's one of your mentors.
He's a close friend, and I wouldn't call him a mentor. My first mentor was Jim Daniels, who he started in 1995, and the first information product I purchased was a book he wrote on how to start a business online. He took his income tax refund check, purchased a used computer, and started his business back in 96, too, I think. Maybe 95, and He was a person I modeled, and I read his materials, and I copied what he did. And so I would call him my first mentor, and we talked yesterday, actually. So we're very close. I've had numerous mentors, though, some who were formal mentors and some who were just people who gave advice. We actually exchanged advice. People like Rich Sheffrin, if you know who he is. We talked back and forth a lot in the early days, and he was trying to figure out what his expertise was and what he wanted to be when he grew up. And he finally figured out, you know, coaching and mentoring and steering business owners in the right direction. He does a marvelous job of that still today. So I've had lots of mentors over the years, a lot of them who wouldn't say, we didn't have a formal relationship, but they were teaching me, and I was teaching them some things too.
I mean, that's great. I mean, I remember first discovering you, Willie, on the Warrior Forum back in the day.
Yes.
Where, you know, you soon got a very, very strong reputation as being, you know, one of the most genuine people on there. And as I say, you know, one of the most respected figures on there. That's why I was really excited about talking with you today, so we could, you know, get some insight from you. I mean, what's next for you, Willie? You've done so much. And as you say, you want to take, a slight step back. But I can imagine you're the kind of person that might take a step back, but then will continue doing what you do because you love it so much.
I will probably continue teaching, even though I probably won't do that much one-on-one coaching, except with I'll do consulting with business owners, brick-and-mortar business owners. But I'm a trained platform speaker, so I went through John Chilter's training, and I know how to give a presentation on stage and manipulate the audience or get control them psychologically and all those things. I know NLP, but I don't use that when I give presentations most of the time. But I enjoyed speaking. I've probably spoken at like 40 or 50 seminars in the U.S., the U.K., Singapore, Malaysia, all over. And so I can see myself doing that, as I do more travel anyway, but consulting and renting my websites out.
I was going to say, which is a great income stream as well, I guess.
It is. You can there are domainers who go out and they purchase domains and they hold on to them as an investment, or they sell them. If you buy the right ones, you can get them for as little as like $10 and a day or two later sell them for a couple hundred dollars. I mean, it's that easy if you know what you're doing. It's better to have an income stream by building them out, getting them ranked in the search engines, and then renting them out to business owners who, every business needs more customers. They need more leads, more people coming to their doors, whether it's online or offline. And so all I'm doing is figuring out where their customers are, who their customers are, and then building a website that gets their attention, and then turning around and saying, I have your customer's attention, why don't you rent this website for me? And if I go into a niche say a lawyer's, and I have a website that targets a need for a specific type of lawyer in a specific city, then I approach someone and rent them my website. And if they ever decide they don't want to rent it from me, I just turn around and rent it to one of their competitors. They know I will do that. So, you know, so whether you're a dentist or a chiropractor or a contractor or whatever, if you don't continue renting my site, then I just find your competitor or someone else in the same city and I rent it to them. So it's once you get the site rented or get it ranked in the search engines, it's fairly dependable. You know, it'll continue for years and years, probably decades.
Love that model. It's a great model. Willie,
which
do you enjoy the most, creating a product or speaking on stage these days?
Speaking on stage.
Why is that? Is it because of the interaction with the audience?
It is, and I guess it's, you know, that there's, they often say that people fear public speaking more than even death, and yet I'm so accustomed to speaking in front of audiences. In the military, I was forced to get on stage and even have politicians and generals in the audience, and my job was to explain portions of the mission, you know, the flight we were doing and things like that. And so I grew very accustomed to just standing up in front of people and explaining things and teaching people. And so it's something that, I enjoy teaching in the first place. I'm a martial artist, and for a while I taught karate to students. And so I got 40 years experience in the martial arts. So I enjoyed, you know, teaching there too. And what I discovered is, when you teach anything, you have to, that forces you to really learn your topic too. So you know, but I enjoyed it. I just enjoy speaking. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have the podium power, they call it. You know, you're in front of the room and everyone's focused on you, and they have to listen to you.
That's true. I mean, you know, and I guess the great thing with the live speaking is, as I say, that interaction, the fact that, you know, you can look out and you get an instant reaction from the audience, as opposed to when you create a product or do something, you know, online, where you're just creating it and sending it out later. So it must be nice to have that human interaction as well, because, you know, this can be a lonely game otherwise, can't it?
It can be. I do a lot of webinars, and I also do a lot of Facebook Lives lately. And, you know, you get the interaction there because I can bring other people on camera, but I can, at a minimum, you have them chatting with me in the chat window over Facebook or YouTube or several other platforms. And so you get the interaction there, and it's a very powerful way of marketing too, because people feel like they are interacting with you. You know, it's not like you're standoffish. You're the teacher and the guru, or that, you know, you know more than they do, or feel like you are better than they are. They get to interact with you and feel like, you know, you have to actually communicate with them, and it's not just one-way communication; it's two-way communication.
It's not like back in the day, is it, where you would send out a DVD and people would watch that DVD at home, but that was very much a one-way conversation. As you say, these days with YouTube and with Facebook Live, you know, you do have that two-way communication. But still, you know, those people are welcoming you into their homes as well, and into their lives. So it does create that human bond, which is great. And also, I would say, necessary for what we're trying to do in our businesses.
It is. People need to feel that they know you and that you care for them. And that they, you know, when they can see you and they can read your body language, they get a feel for who you really are. And even in, like, email marketing, I was trained that you write, when you're writing, you pretend that your avatar or your typical customer is sitting right across the table from you, and you're writing to not a list of people, you're writing to one person. So, you know, when I get emails that say "you guys" instead of "you," you know, I say this person doesn't know what they're doing, because they need to make the person that is reading the email feel they're talking specifically to them and not to, you know, a group of people. So they don't get it. But it's really human to human interaction.
Absolutely. And as the old saying goes, people buy from people, they don't buy from businesses. So, you know, you have to have that personality and that connection, as you say. I mean, Willie, how can we find out more about you? If our listeners and our readers want to find out more about you, how do they do that?
They can visit my website at williecrawford.org. It's williecrawford.org. Or I'm very visible on social media. So if they just go to Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn and just type in my name, I use the same photo everywhere. So once they learn what my face looks like, they would find me. But on Facebook, which is where I'm most active, They would just go to facebook.com/WillieCrawford1. Willie Crawford, the number one. I guess there's another Willie Crawford who beat me to just to plain Willie Crawford.
And that's Willie Crawford. That's W-I-L-L-I-E, isn't it?
Yes. Great. Yes.
Perfect. Willie, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you today. I really do appreciate you taking the time to do this. And I wish you all the success with what you're about to achieve. And of course, you know, kudos to you for everything that you have achieved so far online. It's great to hear your story.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. To keep up to date with all things Marketing Bugle podcast, join my free email updates, which includes a regular downloadable magazine to help you with your business marketing online. Visit martinbrown.com. That's Martin with a Y.